We've been diving into the Holy Spirit, diving into the Holy Spirit, right? We talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. We talked about what it means to live in the life of the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to be talking. And I was asked by the elders to say, hey, can you talk about listening to the Holy Spirit? How do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Well, you just kind of experienced it. And we're going to talk about experience. We just kind of experienced just a moment of it. And I hope you felt it. I hope you can take it as an example, because listening to the voice of God is one of those questions that is often asked, especially of us ministers, like, how do I hear the voice of God? And I really, really wish it was just some simple, honest formula. Sorry if you were looking for this formula. I don't have it, but I have truth. I have things. It's not just one verse like I like to do. You sat with me through some of my sermons, and if you've been here for the past 2 weeks, you know I like to sit in a verse, passage, something like that, and just unpack it. And that's not quite where I'm going to go today, but there are going to be important things we have to listen to. The things that we talked about in the past apply to today right now, what we're going to be talking about. So if you didn't listen to those sermons, they're online on Facebook. You can hear a couple more things because they will point us into the right direction as well. And they're really the starting ground for a lot of it. But when we look at listening to the Holy Spirit or to God, to Christ, our shepherd, to go to one scripture text will miss too much and kind of probably be too narrow to how the Spirit of God operates. And so we're going to look at this. And I'm going to build some things, and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you a little peek into, hey, Ethan, how do you figure out doctrine? Or how do you figure out theology? How do you figure out your walk and your faith? Because I even do this in my sermons. You just don't realize it's not as right there and obvious. But we're going to see this. But before talking about the method to my madness, again, the challenge that we want and face mainly is a formulated answer. If I do A, B, C, then God will do X, Y, Z. Now, there are things in the Bible that we can say that, right? If I have faith in Jesus, God will save me. Okay, yeah. That's an X, Y, that's an A, B, C, X, Y, Z. But it's not always how it works. Because God is not a box. He's not in a box. I can't put God in a box. God puts himself in a box, right? Like he says, I don't change ever. Okay, well, that's you, God. Thankfully, you're consistent. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God can put himself in a box. And he does things in here that puts him in a box in a sense. But those are God's righteousness and justice. And that's him to put it in. But for us, sometimes we have to sit here and say, okay, how? And this is where I sat here the past few weeks, like, okay, Holy Spirit, how do I teach on this? Because this is not always the easiest thing. Because the reality is, it's easy, but it's not easy. Okay, let me say it that way. It's going to seem very simple, but it's not easy because of all the other voices out there. And we'll talk about those other voices, okay? But we struggle sometimes, and it's one of those hard things. You're sitting in this room. You've probably heard the Holy Spirit before and God's voice. If you accepted Christ, you've heard his voice before. So I want to encourage you, these things are very possible. This isn't a God who just sits out there and says, good luck, creation. I gave you this. Hope you make it. That's not how our God works. He is a father. He is personal. He does care for us and love for us. And so there are things we got to work through. All right. I'm actually going to skip that. I don't feel like that's needed to be said. So how do I approach this topic? I learned in seminary, you remember I come from this. The Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, is a Wesleyan Holiness Pentecostal Church. So Wesley is part of it. And there's one thing I grabbed from seminary. Not many things I remember, but this one thing. Those going to college, good luck. You'll usually remember one thing. All right? I got maybe a couple, but, you know, that's that master's degree. You get to have three things you remember maybe in life. But in the undergrad, you get one thing. But in med, this is one of the things from seminary, right? how do I work through it? And I really appreciate it because I'm that guy who loves that list, right? The XYZ, the ABC that I'm talking about. That's why this is a little bit tougher, because I want that, but I don't get it here. But in this one, I do, right? So how do I formulate? They call it the Wesleyan quadrilateral, okay? I know, that's big words. That's going to be as big as my words should get today, all right? It's a Wesleyan quadrilateral. Okay, quadrilateral. All right, kids, how many sides does a quadrilateral have? Four. All right, good. The education system is working, parents. You can take a breath. They are graduated or going to get there in this due time, all right? So it's a four-sided thing, all right? Four-sided shape, all right? Which one of you is in geometry again? Ah, yeah, you both are. All right, great. They can tell you more about that shape. But anyways, in these four things, Wesley talks about scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. When we are going to formulate how we practice, how we understand God, how we're going to work in this world, we should look at these four things: scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. All right? Just to let you know, that's the structure of my sermon today. All right, so scripture, we have to understand, and what Wesley will say and what all of us should say is, it's bottom line. All right, this is the truth, right? If it's in scripture, we got to keep to it, okay? This, if it contradicts scripture, you can't have it. If it's in scripture, we got to find how to apply it, okay? This is our guide. This is the plumb line. This is whatever you want to say. Anything in these other three categories that I'm going to talk about contradicts or doesn't quite fit with scripture, we need to look at it at a deeper level. Okay? We have to look at a deeper level and say, okay, how does this work? But now some of those things feed into scripture, right? We should understand context of scripture. Okay, we should understand these different things. We should probably understand the history so that when there's certain words or terminologies or understandings out there of scripture, we should understand, oh yeah, yeah, that's what is kind of being said here. Because guess what? This thing was written a long time ago, right? I was looking at those songs, and I love looking at the dates of songs that we sing, and I'm like, oh, I remember, oh man, that was so long ago. And then we get to the 2000, I'm like, that was yesterday. 2001, that's yesterday. That's the same as 2011. And then I'm like, wait a minute, 2011 was 10 years ago. I'm getting old. All right, so I'm getting there. Some of you can probably be like, yeah, well, let me tell you what the decades I see that I feel old about. But no, these are the things, right? Because that's scripture. Scripture is foundational, and we understand that things change, but there's still truths that have to be kept here. Okay, so that's number one. The next one, tradition, means the church, right? Now, we have to understand Wesley was from the Anglican. Oh, I might be getting seminary professors who might find this video and be like, oh, it wasn't that. But okay, that's the thing that I didn't remember. All right, so I'm going to go with Anglican. He was doing ministry. You understand, he was kind of doing the blue-collar ministry. Okay, he was bringing the gospel to those who were working. I mean, the idea of Sunday school, just to let you know Sunday school, that term we use back actually when it was originated, was actually school. Right, some of the kids were like, you got to understand, they were working the minds, they didn't have the ability like we do today, education. That's why I tell my kids, be thankful for education. Actually, part of Sunday school was literally learning. You should pull up some of their old Sunday school books. I mean, they were learning things that I'm like, that's college degree level work and understanding, right? Because that's what they were being taught in that day. But I digress. But tradition, right? What are the things that we have in place, right? So he understood the Anglican church. There were traditions in the Anglican church. But he wasn't also afraid at the same time to say, this is off. This doesn't seem to be biblical. This doesn't seem to be okay. This doesn't seem to be something that we need here, or maybe it needs to be changed, right? And so the idea of tradition is it biblical, or is it edifying to the body or to your faith in some ways? And if they aren't, maybe we need to go back, confront that, change it, or get rid of it, right? Who's happy we don't pay indulgences? If you don't know what indulgences are, it was a practice where you paid for your sins so you could make it to heaven a little bit easier. That wasn't biblical. I don't find that in there, but it was a practice. We got rid of it. You can thank Luther. You know, Reformation Day, if you didn't know, is the same day as Halloween, so I go around with my Martin Luther shirt and be like, yeah, 95 Theses. No one knows. Happy Reformation Day. They don't give me candy for that. The next one is reason, right? This is where we start looking outside of the church, understanding maybe the sciences. How does it speak to our world? What does it do? Again, if it contradicts scripture, we need to leave it alone and not make it a theology or a practice. We see this more and more in our churches. They allow the world to influence theology instead of letting the word influence theology and saying, yeah, we get this, but no. Or where does this go up to, but we got to stop it here because this is still sin. Okay? All right. So that's reason. The last one is experience. We need to understand experience. This is dangerous. You can't just have an experience and say that must be God or anything like that. This is where we get the dangers of the word of faith movement, where people are like, well, because I did X, Y, Z, that's how it happens. And they build an entire theology on that when, yeah, there's biblical, but there's other things. This is why, like, when I say, how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? If I just gave you one, it's really not complete. Because I would feel like I'm robbing you. It was like, well, this is my just one experience. Well, that's not how this works. We have to have that a little bit more. We have to have the ability to understand that our experiences cannot necessarily mean it makes theology, but it should speak to theology. But experiences also ground us in that doctrine and theology. Like I said, I've had spirit baptism. I speak in tongues. I don't care who tells me outside that speaking in tongues is not of God. Too bad, it's there. You're not going to take that experience. I'm grounded in it. I have experienced healing before. If you want to tell me that God doesn't do miracles, too bad. I've witnessed it. You're not going to take that away from me because my experience lined up with scripture has grounded it even further. And so experience is meant to do that. It's meant to do those very things, ground us further and deeper. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at how, right, we can form this idea of listening to God. Because really, honestly, it's like the whole entire scripture is listening to God. All right? This, and I'll get into why that is, but it is a living testimony of people listening to God. And not. We see that too. But it's a living testimony of that. And so I'm not going to cover every aspect. I'm not going to cover every scripture. And you're probably going to sit there and be like, well, I remember Pastor so-and-so or Pastor Eric or this person in my past. Great. Wonderful. I'm only going to be able to talk to you, one, a.k.a. from my experience, because I'm not going to tell you something that I don't believe. And two, there's probably truths in all that. Like I said, I can't cover everything. I just can't. All right? And so take it. Take what you've learned before, see how it fits with scripture, and see how it fits with this, and see what you can come up with, because the more you understand this aspect, the better life will be. Because when you are listening to the God and creator and the one who is literally directing all of history into the future, you're a lot better off when we submit to his voice and listen to him. All right. And so how do we look at this? Again, I can't cover everything, but we are going to look at it. And so the first thing, I'm going to go with that scripture, right? Scripture, tradition, reason, experience. So scripture. And you're going to find out that really I'm going to base a lot of things in scripture throughout all those categories. But we got to understand this, right? And so what are some scriptures that stood out to me? Things that I sit there and say, okay, what's really important about listening to God? And the first one is really the shepherd's voice. This is in John 10. All right, let me get to John 10 here real fast. I bet I did not mark John 10 because that would have been... Oh, I did. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me right. All right. There are four verses. I'm going to just quick read them because in this chapter, there are four... Let me make sure I'm counting right. Yeah, there are four times where in just a short time that Jesus says something about the shepherd's voice, right? In chapter 10, verse 3 in John, right? To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then you go to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, but must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. you got to follow the shepherd's voice. If you're going to listen to God, you got to know the shepherd. This is an intimate thing, okay? We are his sheep. Bah. You got to listen. All right? You have to listen to his voice. But to do that, you have to know him. There's a great little YouTube video I saw back, and it was actually to illustrate this a little bit, right? There's a bunch of these kids, and there's a shepherd, and they're visiting. They must be doing a cool tour. I never toured a shepherd's farm. I wish I did. You know, and there's a flock of sheep sitting out there, and the shepherd is sitting there, and he tells them the phrase that he uses to call them in. And you see these kids down the line trying to call these sheep, call these sheep, call these sheep. And they're just sitting there chewing on grass, not giving a care in the world. And then you see the shepherd come. And in one same phrase, in his voice, those sheep perk up and come straight to him. Yeah. Why? Because, yes, they know his voice. Why? Because not only does the shepherd sit there and say, I'm going to spend time with you. The sheep say, yeah, I'm going to hang out with you too. You're a cool dude. He got that cool staff thingy that, you know, what is that called? The shepherd's what? Crook? Yeah? Something like that? I don't know. All right, so you got that cool shepherd crook staff thingy, you know, that protects us, and you're going to protect us. Oh, and you lead us to green pastures and these waters that we can have, right? We're going to follow you because you got our best interest, and we're going to stay around you because there's safety. And, you know, we don't want to be one of the 90, you know, one of, out of the 99 that goes and away, but you'll chase us if we do. So you're a good shepherd, and that's just a human being. And so guess what? The good shepherd is even better because he can provide so much more, but it starts with that relationship. If we are not sitting in the presence, right? We sang some great songs. It was almost my entire sermon. Thank you very much, worship team. I hope that spoke to everybody. If not, go listen to the worship songs again. But we talked about Jesus being the center of it all. If God is not the center, if Christ is not your center, if you are not spending time with the shepherd every single day or in your presence in every moment, then you will never, ever hear that voice. Because we're going to talk about the other voices eventually. And those voices are going to cry very loud. You got to remember, we're in a war. We're in a worship war, literally. Revelation breaks it down. You're either going to worship God and the Holy Trinity, or you're going to worship the dragon and the two beasts. Sorry, Pastor, if I'm stealing your sermons. Anyways, you'll probably come back to Revelation, right? But that is it. If you want to know what Revelation is all about, it's worship war. And we are the targets. And so if we are not sitting in the presence of the shepherd, then we will never hear the voice. And the voice of the shepherd, you got to remember, the shepherd is doing his will. The sheep, yeah, they kind of have to follow and everything like that, but they are meant to follow the shepherd. The sheep just don't go. There's not 100 sheep and they're like, we're all going our own way. And the shepherd's like, what are you doing? That's not how this works. Follow me. It's not your will. It's his will to be done. And that's very key. We just had that up here. We got to do God's will. Sometimes we cheapen the voice of a God to our will. I get it. We got big decisions to make, everything like that. I am not here to put anyone down. I remember I've had to come to this thing. Right here's an experience where God's really convicted me. Like, we needed a new place to live. We had to get a new place. So our family was growing at the time. Actually, the fourth was not with us yet. But we were growing. This was Cleveland, Tennessee. This was all those moments. And I remember it was house shopping. And God kind of had to sit there. And I had to come. Like, we have a place. It's not bad. But we felt like we needed to grow. We felt like we didn't have that. And so God sits there. And you know what? All I could pray was, God, just make sure we get a good house that is going to suffice for it. But some people go around there and be like, God, okay, I got these five. I'm going to lay it out. Now, if you've done it before, I'm not convicting you. Maybe God had put it on your heart, so I'm not going to try to say that that wasn't God. But what I'm saying is sometimes we get so caught up in these worldly things. Thank you, Richard. We get caught up in all these worldly things that we forget to be content, or we just need to trust God's voice, and we need to just stop and say, God's going to be with me anyways. Does God really care about the color of my car? or how big it is. Does it suffice? Do I need a new car? Maybe that's really what we have to ask. God cares about us. He knows how many hairs are on our heads. But he has a mission. And it's not the color of your car. It's the souls that are bound to hell. Whose will are we doing? And so we've got, and the only way we can keep that out and keep that will, our will to be done, is to sit in the presence of the shepherd. So you got to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time in his word, spend time in everything, but you got to spend time. If you are not purposeful, you are going to be led astray. The next one, this one's pretty obvious. Again, you know, so we got to listen to the shepherd. We got to know God's word. But guess what? God speaks in dreams, visions, and prophecies. Thank you. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, right? And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even the male and female servants in those days will pour out my spirit. In those days I will pour out my spirit. We see it in Acts 10 too, right? Remember, I love bacon. And we see the unclean, like Peter, and seeing the unclean animals. And gosh, that was a much more deeper thing than just me getting to eat bacon. I understand that. But, you know, this idea that the Gentiles and everything along those lines are clean. Stop calling something unclean. That's clean. God's Spirit is with them. Go and preach to this house and let them be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. That was a big moment for Peter in the church. Paul already got it. Paul was going to understand that later, but this was a big moment for the church, okay? And so we've seen that, and maybe you've experienced dreams. Got to be careful not to have those pizza dreams. Those things are real, and they're a little crazy, all right? So, but you might have dreams. You might have visions. You have those moments. Yes, I've experienced those in my life. I'm not going to go through them all because some of them already come to pass. It doesn't matter anymore. But those are the things. We do have those, and we got to listen to those, and we got to really discern, okay, God, is this from you? And when we're trying to discern these things, and we're trying to discern if this is God's voice and in this shepherd, and one that you just got to experience really well right here, was the importance of the congregation. This is where I have to contradict everyone who says, oh, I don't need church. I can experience God on my own. God and I are tight. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. That was not because we are here to be controlled. It is because they're so important to our faith. Hopefully you notice that most of the stuff I'm even saying, most of you got said. I wasn't even planning on preaching this Sunday. But I was asked because someone listened to the Holy Spirit. And then we did, before I got up here, that's why it would be hypocritical for me not to yield to the Holy Spirit, because I knew there was more to be said before I needed to say anything. I probably could have just said amen and came up here, and well, some of you have been really happy because you get to eat or whatever, but it was good enough. But I knew I had to teach on something. The congregation is so important. Why? Because I'm not going to turn to it, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in the congregation. These gifts, right, need to operate. If you don't know where to find that, that's 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Please read it. Understand that also Corinthians 13, that was a great thing about love, is about the love that needs to be always present in our congregation first, and the gifts behind it should always be acting within that love. All right. But the gifts of the Spirit speak to us. They are gifts to us. I do not possess the gifts per se because I'm ordained. Okay, great. We're all priesthood. Do you understand? You're the priesthood. You're anointed by God. That's what the Holy Spirit. You're a priest. You have the ability to do it. We saw these gifts flowing already. I have been used for the gift of tongues. Let me tell you, that's a really weird moment because you're going up there, you give the gift of tongue, you're like, I really hope someone has the interpretation, or I feel like a failure, right? But thankfully, everyone's come behind and done that. I'm like, yay. All right, but no, the gifts are ever flowing. The words of wisdom and knowledge were flowing this morning. Hopefully, you saw that. We had insights. We had things going on. There was some knowledge and maybe some future things. And we're in this tension. And we got to let the gifts flow. Because if we think we either possess the gifts or think that, we have to be ready to receive those gifts and be obedient and understanding of those. And so, yes, the congregation there is important. And within the congregation, God does rise up the offices. That's in Ephesians 4 and 11 through 13, right? You know? The apostles, right? What else? The prophets, the evangelists, the preachers, teachers. There could be a / teachers there, right? They call them fivefold ministry. I land in the teacher, preacher side of things, if you haven't noticed. Do not call me a prophet. Have I prophesied or I've had prophetic things or visions? Oh, absolutely, God can work in it, but I do not feel the office of a prophet. That ain't me. Definitely not me as the evangelist. No. All right? Now, these offices are meant to help equip you. Understand that through the ministry of God. I'm here to equip you. That is what I'm doing this morning. I'm here to equip you to do these things. To go out and literally multiply the church. That is my job. That is the job of a minister, is to equip, and they equipped you in different things, right? And again, you can see these testimonies like in Acts 15, 1 through 35. That's the whole Gentiles, and do they need to be circumcised and do these religious laws of the Jews? And became this whole entire time where the congregation literally was sitting there and talking and listening and debating. It's okay to talk things out. It's okay to have questions about faith. If this is not a safe place to ask, why is this? Why does God do this? I can't promise you I got the answers because God is beyond my knowledge all the time, but I can surely hope that we can. If we're sitting here wondering, what are we doing, or do we need to change something? Should that not be a safe place in here? Are we making room for the voices to be heard? Or are we stuck in the mold of church? I like routine. My family can testify. I love routine. I like coming in. I like worship. I like the communion. I like the word. I like going out. But have we done this so much that we have molded it together that we have not allowed God's Spirit to truly move in our midst? There's something to say. It's not that I don't mind that everyone's looking at me, but when we, and it's the structure that we're in, and we get more people in here this way, and I'm fine with that. But the moment I'm here, I'm in office, I'm here to equip, but everyone's looking at me for the answers. And I'm looking at you, hoping for answers, because there's knowledge and wisdom. I would be a fool to think I've got all the answers. I don't. And you all come from different life experiences and different things that are beautiful and God's redemptive story. And we'll talk about that in the experience part. But man, we got to listen to each other. Because if we're all living spirit-filled lives, right? Go to the back. We built up to this moment. If we're living spirit-filled lives and have the mind of Christ or the mind of the Spirit, then when we are talking about these things, we are already in submission. And now we're just dealing with what maybe has brought up. Maybe we're dealing with another voice and we're confused about that. But if we've got to make this a safe and loving place to work through that moment. And so we have to have the congregation. These are things found very deeply in Scripture in a lot of ways. I'm going to move to traditions and kind of they bleed together, right? Because in our traditions, this comes from Scriptures. But there's, what is God's voice? It's often quiet, we find more. It guides us in what to do, really the mission or the really difficult situations. It's a comfort when we're anxious and can be a rebuke. Our churches and things and throughout history, these are things that we have learned that are pretty common about God's voice. We also learn through traditions, through the sacraments. Hopefully you are learning from communion. It's like a mini sermon every time someone's up here, and I love it. They're teaching about it. And we do that because of communion. It reminds us of something. It should invoke something. It should be enough where the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you know you shouldn't take communion if you're in sin, right? Oh, yeah, maybe I should examine myself. Maybe I didn't do that yet this week or this day. I need to examine myself before taking the Holy Communion, because it's saying I'm a part of the holy body of Christ and that this blood is meant to do that. Maybe we have to remember, or it reminds us of that marriage supper of the Lamb that we get to rejoice about and we have an opportunity to look forward to. Or maybe baptism reminds us of, man, you remember when we were that simple in faith? Those are good days. Maybe we have to go back to some of that simpleness that we've gotten too much clutter, or the powerfulness of foot washing. Or praying for the sick. These sacraments remind us of things, or traditions in the church. Yes, they're biblical. Remember, those things should be biblical. But at the same time, these are things carried on by the traditions of our church. Maybe it's the songs and the hymns. Man, hymns are beautiful. Do you know what hymns used to be? They used to be the Bible lessons.
Gospel was in there.
Yeah. They wrote hymns to teach people who couldn't read because they could remember the tune. And so theology is rich in these hymns and these songs, and they should be something we reflect on. And it's a way that the Holy Spirit can speak to us. He can speak through art and literature, right? I mean, it is an amazing thing sometimes, the things that just in those moments, whether I'm looking, I got an opportunity on one of my deployments. We ported in Cyprus, beautiful area. Never been there without the Navy. Thank you, Navy. But I had an opportunity to go take this tour. It was called the Kikos Monastery. Beautiful. They have so much gold inlaid. I'm not kidding you. I'll ever get how many metric tons of gold is in this monastery, but they have mosaics, right? So you have to understand this was a Greek Orthodox church. They used pictures and icons and stuff like that to remind people and teach people, because people didn't know how to read. So that was where that tradition came from. And so, but you have Bible stories and mosaics, and I could just sit there and look. They have one of the burning bush. I'm like, wow, I can tell that story. I have that moment of reminding from the Holy Spirit of just what that means in this moment. Or you see Jesus on the cross, or you see, actually in one of them, going to the shepherd voice, I was looking at those pictures this morning, you have one of Jesus carrying a lamb with all the other lambs. And intranistically, there's off to the distance a goat. That is packed with meaning. Not only is he chasing them, they know, after that one and caring and making sure, but are we sheep or are we goat? Like the impact of that. That's through art, through literature, different things of that nature. Doesn't mean it's always there, but you have to let the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can talk to us in those moments if we let him. Can't contradict scripture. We gotta be careful, but it's beautiful. Other traditions, we see it in our songs and the arts and everything, is God created nature. Has everyone had that moment? I love hiking. Thanks, Richard. Thanks for telling me all these hiking trails and different things and getting me that interest. I blame Richard. And I thank him. So, but, right? Sometimes God just uses nature, right? His mercies are new every morning. And so when that sun rises, as early as it's been going lately, and I really wish it would be later because my pets wake up with the sun, but we remind ourselves, man, God's mercy is new every morning. He gave me the opportunity to live another day because he has every right to take us out. Right? We can reflect on those things. Or when I look at anything about space and the vastness of space, that's dizzying to me. And then I think, and because I remember just seeing a video about all the size, and they went to the known universe and how big it was, and I'm like, my God's bigger. That's amazing. And the Holy Spirit can do those little reminders. If we don't think those are things that build our faith, don't discount that. Those little things are the quiet voices that remind us of who God is. That's so important when we need to remember to stay in the shepherd. So we got to remember those things. Reason, I'll go through this pretty quickly because I know we're over time. And I don't care. But we'll go through it. The reason and things we got to be right. We understand God's voice, but we need to understand again scripturally, and it's there. There are different voices. These are the voices that can really be that can block or corrupt or confuse us. The world has a very loud voice nowadays. Very loud voice in what's acceptable and what's not sin or whatever they find. The flesh, we talked about that last week. I'm not going to dwell on that, but it's very contradicting. Satan is pretty obvious. We're at war. Fiery darts. Right? Always shooting those things, making us want to throw away our faith. Another one that's a little bit harder sometimes is our conscience. Sometimes we think, and we thought that was right, but really it wasn't God. And we've got to make sure we're checking our conscience against scripture and different things and against the spirit or maybe within the congregation. And saying all those things is interesting. You feel like, did you just contradict everything you just said? Yeah, we got to be careful. And those voices are very dangerous. And those things, especially more. I mean, hopefully your conscience is lining up more with God, more and more and more, right? But at the same time, God sometimes uses these people who are not Christians to talk to us. Has everyone experienced that before? I know that's not a popular one. It might not be exactly what we think, but that's something we sometimes have to understand. That's scriptural as well. There are times where there are people outside of the faith who actually spoke and brought in some wisdoms. We have to understand the sciences. Biology, psychology, medical. Some of those are present in this room. They teach us things, right? I got a question. Does scripture talk about how to live a healthy life in a sense of like what to eat, how to exercise? Any of that? Yes. Okay, there are some. Kind of. It's there. Kind of, sort of. But what's good for your body? This is not like medical journaling and you know, the nutritionists and those people who've studied our Bible to our body to understand it better. But if we don't think God uses those people to speak to us, like there was times where I was fighting some things in my body that I'm like, oh, I'm just praying through, and eventually God's like, just eat better and go exercise, and I ate better and did exercise, and it went away. That was really deep and profound. Thanks God for the miracle of healing. Because I listened to science. Okay, yeah, maybe I just needed to do better. And God used it. Whether we like it or not, there are some truths in it. I find that sometimes it's funny, psychology only really reemphasizes stuff in the Bible that I already learned, but, you know, like how you should think, I don't know, things that are pure, right? Things of God. Those good things, maybe we should be more thankful, you know, in life. These are all things that they start saying, oh, look, this revelation that's just come out. I'm like, it's been a revelation for centuries, if you would have just acknowledged the Bible. But okay, I'll give you it. At least you're reemphasizing it. Or, hey, isolation is bad. Wow, we knew that. Community is important. It's not good for man to be alone. Anxiety, it's not a good thing. Yeah. Jesus talked about that before, you know, and so we learn, but it helps us get better. There are things like when it comes to marriage counseling stuff, I don't know if the guy's a Christian or not, but I like John Gottman. Anyone heard John Gottman before? I figured you would have. Thanks. There's one in the audience. All right. But he has some good stuff and good knowledge of just how relationships, because he studied human relationships, and there are good practices to use in marriage. Or another one like Sue Johnson has also done stuff. I believe she's a Christian. And so, you know, there are some wisdoms that we can take from that. And other things that just confirm the Bible and different stuff. But we got to listen, because sometimes God's going to use those things to help us. We should learn our personalities and about ourselves. Knowing ourselves is so important. right? Things that push us to a deeper understanding of God can be used by the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's not always in this Bible, but because we can bring it to our congregation, we can look through tradition, or we can look through understanding, God can speak to us in this way. Don't be afraid of them. There are truths that God just continues to prove. I think one of my favorite ones I love, and I'm sure I could get corrected, but I remember a news article. And it said, hey, there's a gene in snakes that's turned off that would have let them grow legs. I'm like, thank you for proving Genesis 3 to me. Wow. Literally, Moses, who wrote the Torah, right? He was a scientist. He already knew that by God's revelation in a lot of ways. And so we got to know ourselves. We got to allow these things to speak to us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will use them, even if they are not even for the Holy Spirit or for the church. He can use them to speak to us. And so we need to sometimes yield, not be too proud. Experience is the last one. I'm going to put this in two quick things, and I'm going to summarize everything else and just kind of talk from the heart still. Experience, the one, testimonies, we've heard a bunch of them. It is just part of tradition. I mean, honestly, this is a book of prophecy, but it's also a book of testimony, is it not? Yes. This is God and humans interacting, moving towards the goal of redemption. This entire book is a testimony, and we continue to live this testimony. We heard these testimonies about God working in us and through us, and we have to allow that to continue. Our experiences can reinforce the Bible, and it can talk to others. Don't ever think that your testimony is not important. The last one, this one's a little bit different. It might seem a little weird to talk about it, but it was what was happening to me, probably to possibly to others. But the Spirit speaks to us in that kind of conviction gut type feeling. Have you ever had that before when you've done something wrong and that gut just... Or you're sitting there and God wants you to speak and he's like... It's always happening in here, right? We always say, we got Jesus in my heart. That's not where it feels like it lands in a lot, because it just... Sometimes maybe it does for somebody, and that's fine. But in Jesus's, you know, when Jesus was moved with compassion, that was all about the bowels, right? I heard a Christian comedian once say, "Could you imagine if we still had that move by emotions in your back in the, you know, in that day when you go to your significant other? Hey, baby, you really move me." That might not go over, but that's kind of the idea of the romance and the different things, but also the compassion. Every time Jesus is moved with compassion, my kids might be turning red, I don't know. They're moved with compassion, right? Every time they're moved with compassion, this is the same word that has that idea. The Holy Spirit was moving and Jesus in those compassionate moments through the Spirit in his internal and moving him deeply at that pit of the stomach to have compassion. Usually when you have compassion, miracles followed. The Spirit showed up, and so we got to learn to do that. Yeah, not every gut check are from God. Sometimes we get our own selves in anxiety, and we got to be careful. But these are things, experiences and stuff, and how God does it. And so in the end, there's really no specific formula. As you notice, I kind of went really broad because I didn't want to discount. I wanted to make sure you understood how God can speak to us. It's still not even formulated, but there are some unwaverable non-negotiables. You got to know the voice, the relationship with God. You got to be a Spirit-filled life. It's the only way we can weed out the other voices and really listen to the shepherd. If you're not spending time, again, with Jesus, then you are not going to hear his voice. If you sit there and be like, blah to this thing called the Bible, you're not going to hear his voice. If you are not doing that, you're not going to hear his voice. And so that's important. And if you're sitting there trying to struggle or figure out the next move, and it's a major life decision, and you're not sure where to go with everything, or, you know, whatever the case may be, we've heard testimonies of people who are going to the mission field. They'll go talk to pastors. They'll talk to people around them. You should be surrounding yourself with people who are godly. I'm not saying that, you know, if you have that other person who's not godly, they can't be in your life. What I'm saying is you should surround people, though, that you should be able to talk to at a godly thing, because God works in our congregation, that, and our ministers. This is a non-negotiable. You really should listen to those around you, because you're not supposed to do this alone. Like I said, we're in a war. So far, in human history at least, I don't think, like in American history, we just sent one person to go fight. I'm not a historian, but I'm thinking I'm right. We ain't got some Captain America able to go do it all. Iron Man, Thor's not going to drop from the sky. No Incredible Hulk, I know, right? We don't have them. We don't have that person to go fight. That this is a war, and we cannot do it alone. Not even the Avengers could do it alone. Anyways, we need each other to hear God's voice. And remember, God is about his mission. He cares and loves for us. We need to have the mind of Christ and not the flesh. You got to get rid of it. You got to have that contentment. You have to. It's about God's mission, not our mission. If you're not lined up in God's will, thy will be done type mentality, you're probably not going to hear the voice of God, because that's what his biggest concern is about. He loves you. He cares for you. He will guide you in the mundane and the little things. Don't get me wrong. He really does speak to the small daily things, but they're usually there to better you, right? We got to listen. We got to not contradict scripture. I don't care. This is a fallen world. We have a fallen nature. There could be things that are corrupted over the years, whatever the case may be. But if scripture says it is sin, it is sin. You can still love, but you can't sit there and just accept. But in that, make sure this is part of that tradition and context and reason. Historians are great. Make sure you're understanding scripture correctly. They talk about, okay, here's the other big words, things I learned from seminary, maybe undergrad. This is undergrad. Exegete versus eisegete. To eisegete means I'm going to bring my opinions and thoughts and make scripture fit around it. Exegete says I am going to be translated by scripture. I'm going to allow scripture to come out and translate my realities so they ensure that I am listening to the word. And so what I want to leave you with is remember to be open and ready. God can use anything, but there are things you have to always remember. Continual prayer means being ready to listen at any moment. It means you're in a position that says, Holy Spirit, today just use me. One of my common prayers that I say, God, just let me always be salt and light every time I go to work and go out in this world. Just let me taste different and look different. Let me shine those things before you. And so it's a constant ability just to be ready to listen. Learn to quiet the world around you and listen to God. God can use the everyday, and God can be spontaneous. Again, listening to the Holy Spirit in the end is putting yourself in the position and stance to be ready to listen. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to be ready to listen and know the shepherd's voice. So let us pray. Lord, we again thank you for this day. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for already moving. Even before my words, you were present. You have spoke to these people and those possibly online. And so continue to do the good work in them. But Holy Spirit, help us to remain in the shepherd. Among the shepherd, among ourselves, help us to remind us and show us the voice of the Good Shepherd. May we spend time, may we have that relationship, may we dive deeper in this, because that's truly where your presence is. And may we learn to listen to the other sheep that are following his voice. Give us the discernment, for Lord, there are many voices and there are false prophets. There are those who will enter and try to deceive us. They are wolves in sheep clothing. Help us to be protected by those things. May we lean on each other so that we are never deceived by the other voices, but always listening to yours. Open us to the reality that you can use anything and that you have done many things, but there are always truths in your scripture. May we always learn how to read and interpret. May we be interpreted by the scriptures we read. May we change and mold to you. May we be conformed to that image of Christ. And may we encourage each other through our experiences and our testimonies. May these things become real in our life so that we can even be more deeply grounded in you. And so teach us to listen. In a world full of noise, in a world where we want, a noise and that builds up, may we learn to truly be still and know that you're God in it all. Help us to find those quiet moments so we can listen to what your will is and not our will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.